Chef Rossi is here to talk about the journey of her memoir, The Raging Skillet, From a Book to the Stage, and give us her spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Rossi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on your show. I love it here.
Tell us about the metamorphosis of your memoir to the stage, including the recent sold-out New York showcase starring Judy Gold.
It has been such a crazy, wild ride. Early on the book tour, the very first stop on the book tour, I went to the Javits Center with my publishing company. So the book wasn't even out yet, and I was signing galleys of the book. And I decided, well, it's the Javits Center, it's this book event, there's thousands of people there, let me up the ante. So I gave out peanut butter and bacon sandwiches. So naturally, I had the longest line in front of our booth because, you know, some people are like they wanted to meet me, and some people are like they wanted my book, and most people are like they wanted the free food. But there was this long line, and it was almost all women. And on the line, I see this one guy, and he looks kind of crazy. He's got like a scraggly beard, and he's dressed in that same shade of brown as either UPS, or he looked a little bit like the Unabomber, actually, speaking of UPS or FedEx or however he did it. Anyway, he gets up to me and he says, I want to turn your book into a play. And so I'd already sized him up as a Looney Tune. So I'm like, sure, whatever, you know, be nice to him so he won't hurt me, you know. And I'm like, why do I have this big neon sign on my head? Welcome, nutty people, please apply here. But as it turned out, he was serious. And not only was he serious, but he was an accomplished playwright. He's done a lot of work, in particular with food memoirs. So we're kind of staying in communication, but in my head I couldn't imagine how he was going to turn my book into a play, let alone a three-person play. I mean, my book is like a 500-person book. So he sends me the first draft, and I had never agreed to anything. And all of a sudden, just in the email, comes the entire draft of the play. I mean, like 100 pages, so much work. And I thought, oh my God, like, what if I don't like it? Then I have to say no to this guy. I was feeling terrible. But I started reading it, and I went hysterical. I mean, it was so funny. It made perfect sense the way he did it. And so immediately I agreed, yes, I will do it. So then it was set up to go to Theater Works in Hartford, Connecticut for 5 weeks in the summer of 2017. And I guess, I don't know, is it self-esteem or something? I don't know. I thought it was going to be some dumpy little theater on the highway. You know, I was like, maybe on Wednesdays they have strippers and pole dancing, but on Friday they'll do my play. And so the first time I go to see Theater Works, I mean, this was like a gorgeous Lincoln Center, million-dollar kind of theater. I was like, oh my God. It was unbelievable. And so opening night comes last summer, and they had it sized up as this summer sleeper. They let some of the staff go on vacation. They just thought, you know, let's just see who shows up. And it wound up running, sold out, smash, standing ovation, everything you could ever want a play to do for 5 weeks. And I can't even tell you how I felt watching it. That's a whole other story. I mean, just unbelievable. I'm still, I think I have not recuperated from the first time I saw it. So now we just had our first New York showcase starring Judy Gold, and Catherine Cates, who I love, and Orange is the New Black played my mother, and Jason Vesey played my father, and all the other men in the play, plus one woman, versatile guy. Anyway, again, just crazy smash, sold out, standing ovation. They were turning people away at the door. I mean, it's just been, I don't know, I keep trying to answer how do I feel, and I haven't even gotten there yet. It's like bigger than I am. It's just been a spectacular experience. We're really hoping it'll go off Broadway. The artistic director feels like it's the kind of play that can just go forever, like Stomp or Blue Man Group, except this is the Jewish lesbian and you can eat play that'll just go forever. The lesbian Tony and Tina's Wedding with a Heart. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
My inspiration, very simply, was my mother. I mean, you know, of course, after a whole childhood of her trying to land the demon guilt bomb on me, when she passed away, you know, it worked. So, of course, I had to write a book and dedicate it to my mother, because in my early professional writing years, she made me promise to immortalize her. And so what could I do but that? So I don't know if there's ever going to come a time that I actually write something that has nothing to do with my mother, but that book was like all about my mother. It was my true inspiration.
What would you like to accomplish with this story?
I've always led my life kind of going in through the outdoor. Most of the things I've done, I was told a woman couldn't do. Certainly when I started cooking in the 80s, women were really not welcome in professional kitchens, which always struck me as so ironic because men, they love their mother's home cooking or their wife's home cooking, but if I get paid to cook, no, that's not allowed. So I love the idea that people will read my book, especially young women in their 20s or teens, will read my book and just feel courage to, like, never accept being told what a woman can't do. And I love the idea that men will read my book and maybe just be a little more of a feminist instead of whatever they are. So I'm hoping to change the tide, especially these days. Women, we need all the help we can get.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
I think I would most like to see the empowerment of women, especially in the culinary field, would be great. I'd like to see the empowerment of young gay adults and gay teenagers. I'd like to see the empowerment of the underdog in general. So, I mean, I'm a kind of runaway, throwaway, white trash little kid from New Jersey who went from literally being homeless to whatever this thing is called, Chef Rossi. So I just think that my story will really empower people that are down and out or the underdog or minorities, and I just hope I can help.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration?
Oh, my God. You know what? This is the worst nightmare. Like, when this guy got elected, if he did get elected, hello, Russia, minus 3 million votes, I thought, well, maybe it won't be that bad. He was a Democrat, supposedly, for 2 seconds. He's been profoundly worse. I mean, he is really reminding me of the description of the early days, the rise to power of Hitler. And I know you've probably heard that before, but it's like the scapegoating of immigrants, the scapegoating of the transgender community. He's the worst kind of monster. And I'm always looking for what could possibly be the good thing that you could say about, I don't even say his name, I'm just going to call him douchebag, if that's okay. And that answer came to me during the first Women's March. Because here we were, hundreds of thousands of people, mostly women, but everyone, all over the city, all over Washington, Boston, all around the country, all around the world, over 3 million people marching. And we were marching because we were so horrified that this monster got in and all the horrible, disgusting things that have fallen out of his mouth and his stupid twittering. So I thought, that's the good thing. Like, our rage has empowered us in a way that probably hasn't happened since the 60s. So what we're getting out of this and what gay adults and gay teens and young gay people and transgender community and women and minorities and all of us, what we're getting out of this is an enormous surge of power. And maybe that's coming out of outrage and horror and all of these terrible things. But it's coming. And so that's what I would say. Just find your power wave and surf it.
With LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids?
Like we say, it does get better. Like that great organization, it gets better. But it really does. I mean, I remember being in the 7th and 8th grade and staring at the clock, praying for it to hit 3 o'clock so I could run home and dive under the pillows and start daydreaming because I was so unhappy. I was being terribly bullied. I mean, 2 years of like the most horrible bullying. And here I am now 53 years old and I've never experienced cruelty as an adult like I did when I was in the 7th and 8th grade. Somehow I survived that. And then all of my high school was one big bit of revenge for everything I suffered in those 2 years. And even though it was terrible, I'm now happy that I went through it because it gave me an understanding of what it's like to be bullied and like to be victimized. Now, the President of the United States is supposed to stand for good things. They're supposed to be a decent person, an honorable person. You know, maybe they're Republican and we're Democrats, you know, or maybe not. But this guy up there is not. He's none of those things. And I don't even know what he really believes. He's always just playing to his base. But he's scapegoating the transgender community and scapegoating the gay community and women and all of us. And that's got to feel terrible to a gay kid, a gay teen, a young gay adult, because he's our president basically bashing us when we might already be getting bashed. So all I can tell you is I promise it gets better, and I promise that what you're going through right now is just going to empower you. And I promise that you can surf that anger and that horror into the most incredible power. You can ride your power. But also, in the end, you are beautiful, and you are magical, and you are glorious. And no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter where you live, no matter how old you are, whether you're gay or trans, man or woman, you know that you are better looking than the current president.
How can people get information about the Raging Skillet?
Well, they can go to my website, theragingskillet.com. There's always stuff up there. They can find my Facebook page, which is Chef Rossi NYC. They can find my Twitter, which is Chef Rossi. And I'm on Instagram also as Chef Rossi NYC. So there's all kinds of places to find me.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that, Charlotte. I finished the second draft of my second book, memoir, tentatively titled Escape from Kingston Avenue. And I've got my editor looking at it right now. And so I'm really excited for this to come out. And I don't know when it's going to come out. And I don't know exactly, you know, more details than I've just given you. But I can tell you that it's a whole different kind of animal. Let's say my first memoir was kind of PG-rated. This one's definitely R-rated. It's got lots and lots of nudity and sex and all kinds of things. So it's a very different animal. And I've also written the screenplay for The Raging Skillet, which I think would make a great movie. And I'm starting to write a screenplay for a possible Raging Skillet television show. Of course, the only problem is that I don't know anyone in Hollywood. But, you know, maybe they'll listen to this and call me.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
Well, I always have the Raging Skillet Catering Company in Manhattan. We're like New York's wildest caterer. That gets called us the wildest thing this side of the Mason-Dixon line. So, you know, we've got a little bit of a reputation. And I'm going into my 13th year as the host of Bite This on WOMR and WFMR in Provincetown, and it also comes out of a satellite in Orleans on Cape Cod, but you can always hear it at WOMR.org. Just look for Bite This. So I read memoirs about my weird life and follow it with recipes. That's kind of how the book came about, because I was always writing in that format, and it just naturally formed into a book.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Well, for most of my career, it was molds are a delicious thing to break. But since I've been on the book tour, I guess because it started out, I would write these novels when people would say, can you sign my book? I'd be like, it was so wonderful to meet you. Have a nice day. I'm so happy you came. Oh, my God, forget it. I was getting carpal tunnel in my hand and my brain. Then I just thought, like, what's it all about? And I just started writing Food is Love, because that's kind of my whole motto to my culinary career, that you have to put love into food. You don't want to have this two-dimensional plastic food. You want to have soulful, loving food. So I guess it would be Food is Love, but I still kind of like molds are a delicious thing to break.